Welcome to the 10-Day Money Matrix Magic Marathon. This is call two of our five talks with experts, where we go into greater depth about the topics of money, how we manage our personal and business finances, ways to clear our negative patterns around money, and how to manifest more abundance in our lives. I'm delighted to have Anna Pilon here as today's expert, and she's going to be speaking about creative bookkeeping, tips and tricks for entrepreneurs who are allergic to accounting. And she's going to be speaking about how to take the ick out of your bookkeeping tasks, which I'm sure is welcome, very welcome for all of you. So welcome, Anna.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
And I'm fine. So nice to hear you on the line. And I have a question, actually, before we even start, is how do you pronounce your last name? I keep going to Anna Pilon.
For an English pronunciation, that is very good. Actually, it's Pilon.
Pilon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. The N is more silent. It's like a oh.
I see. And is it French originally?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm okay on the French side. So, yes. So I'm just going to explain a little of the structure of today's call and give you some background on Anna. And then I'm going to interview Anna for about 20 to 30 minutes and then give you a chance to ask questions if you have some more. And you'll always have the chance to later put questions up in Facebook individually, and Anna will give you the option also of contacting her later. So what I want to do now is talk a little bit about our guest speaker. Anna has an unusual combination of gifts and interests. She's got 30 years of experience as a bookkeeper. She's a time management expert and personal assistant. And at the same time, she has a very creative side. And I think this is a little unusual for a bookkeeper, but I may be wrong. She doesn't like following rules. And like many of us on this call and involved in the Money Marathon, she loves traveling and has traveled across Canada, the U.S., England, Scotland, Germany, Holland, and the Caribbean. And she has three grown-up children living their dreams, which she's always encouraged. And she has, among her passions, is a passion for sailing. And her big dream, she told me, is she wants to travel the world one place at a time, getting a little home on wheels and marketing her upcoming ebook, which is on bookkeeping for hippies and creative types. And so I think it's going to be really fun to talk to her about how we can get more creative about our bookkeeping and have more fun. And so what I'm going to do first is, as I said, I'm going to ask her a few questions. And Anna, I'm really interested to know what led you to this path of helping people find creative solutions to their bookkeeping. And by creative solutions, we don't mean trying to get out of doing any bookkeeping at all.
Well, the journey to get here has been an interesting one. In my working career, when I was doing one of those job things, you know, that three-letter, four-letter word, I would get really bored after I had their mess cleaned up. So I would take these jobs, and it would take me 6 months to a year to get the wheels running smoothly. And then after that, it bored me to tears. And so I was constantly looking for new jobs and bouncing around and quitting. And I thought, well, this is crazy. Why don't I just do that for myself? And what I found is doing it for myself, I get bags, boxes, briefcases, pieces of paper. One client gave me three garbage bags full of paper, and I did 11 years worth of taxes for him.
Can you talk a little bit louder for us, please?
Pardon?
Can you talk a little bit louder for us?
Oh, sure. Sorry. So I did 11 years worth of income tax for this person.
My goodness, that was my experience, I'm sure.
And it was fun because it was putting the puzzle pieces together. I mean, the boxes had no rhyme or reason, and what this client did was he would open the bill, pay it, and tuck everything back in and throw it somewhere. So it took a day of going through his house and gathering all the paperwork, and then it took me, I would sit and watch TV and sort through it because it sorting the paper doesn't engage your brain, and that's why I like to make it fun. I create a fun environment, or I will have a friend over for coffee while I sort through the paperwork. And that just led me to, I continue to find clients that way who don't know what to do with this paperwork, or they've left it for so long that it's a mountain, and I will take it and make it a molehill.
And I'm interested about that, Anna, is that you actually sorted through 11, because I have a friend who's in a similar, I think she has at least 11 years of taxes, although maybe she's changed it since I last talked to her. But how long did it take you to sort it out? Oh, was it only a day?
Oh, no. It was a day of going through his house.
Okay, right. I was wondering how you could possibly do that.
It probably took, just sorting through it, probably took 12, 15 hours because a lot of it was just garbage. I mean, those three garbage bags full turned into half a file. Do you know what a banker box is?
Yes. I have a few.
So at the end of the day, all that was necessary was about a half a banker's box worth of pieces of paper.
Mm.
So there was a lot of recycling.
I think I know a few people who would be interested in your services. So so you got to doing this yourself, and you've been doing that over the years now.
Yes, I find it interesting to sit and talk with people about what their business is because, frankly, the rules of bookkeeping have not changed since Franciscan Friar developed this in the 15th century.
Hmm.
Yeah, the rules of bookkeeping are the same ones that he developed, 500 years ago.
Well, maybe you'll tell us about that a little bit more. So perhaps, I don't know if you want to add anything about your journey as an entrepreneur helping people do bookkeeping. Is there anything else you would like to tell people, or we'll get on to the next question?
We'll just weave them into the answers. How's that?
Okay. So what I would like to know next is why in the earth is it important to have some system of bookkeeping all year around, not just at tax time?
Well, it's the most important reason is so that you know where your money is, know what your money is doing for you.
Mm.
It's a discipline thing. It's a control issue. It would be if you, for example, wait till tax time to examine your books and you made a mistake. We'll use today's date, for example. So if you made a mistake in January of 2012 and you are only looking at it in April of 2013 in order to file your 2012 taxes, that mistake could be a repetitive one or it could just be a one-off. So, for instance, I tell a little story in my ebook. I had a client who never really paid attention to his bills. He just paid them, and he never looked at them again. Well, by the time I got a hold of his books, he had been paying his electric bill, even though it was in a credit situation. He accidentally paid it twice the first time. So it comes in, and so let's say in January he paid his $100 bill twice. So then come February, he has a $100 credit. So he pays them another $100. Come March, he has a $200 credit. So he adds $200 to to his bill. So 14 months later, I mean, if we use that simple math, 14 months later, he's got $2,600. Now, I caught it a lot sooner than that. Plus, I mean, he was using hydro. But that simple math is a mistake that you make in January and don't find for 14 months could be really costly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, it's pretty important as entrepreneurs that we know what our costs are so we can cut back, if necessary, on certain things that aren't important. And what actually, whether we're making a profit, because I think we can kind of go along and think, oh, we're doing really well. And then we look at all the things we've spent money on and what actually is left as a profit. And it can be pretty pitiful sometimes.
Yes, and you can't go back and say, oh, Katie, I should have charged you $400 for doing your taxes, but I only charged you $200. Do you want to give me another $200?
Right.
You can't do that. I mean, you could try, but I don't know of anybody who would say, sure, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
So mistakes need to be fixed immediately. I don't know about the rest of the world, but in Canada, you only have 30 days to correct a bank error.
Mm-hmm. So that's surprising. 30 days, it's not much. I mean, some of us don't look that often at our bank statements. So then it's important to look at bank and credit statements?
Yes, for that reason. First of all, they are
often
perfect. Well, I look at mine at least once a month. I may not go and sit down and do the bookkeeping for them every month, but I at least look at them every month. For instance, in my own personal story, my bank fee, I bank with a bank that allows me one fee. I can have up to 10 accounts. However, once you hit a certain amount of transactions, they start charging you per transaction. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at my bank account, and I was charged an additional $14 one month. And I went, what is this? And they said, oh, well, you've reached your maximum. And I went, oh, well, what's it going to cost me so that there is no maximum? So by going from a $9 a month monthly fee to the $14 one, I am unlimited, so it doesn't matter how often I use my bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Had I let that go, oh, sorry, let me step back here for a second. So when I called the bank and I said, hey, what's going on? And we figured it out, she reversed the $14 that they had charged me additionally, bumped me up from the $9 fee to the $14 fee, and gave me credit for another charge that was in there that I didn't even ask about.
Mm-hmm.
So that saved me $20. It was a 2-minute phone call. It was a 5-minute scan on my bank account.
Yeah.
It took longer to actually find the phone number to call the bank to get a real person than it did.
Actually, talking about that, I find, and this is a little tip I have I find very useful, is I have all my bank information for all my banks and credit cards, you know, how to get in on the internet, the passwords, the phone numbers, all on a sheet that I keep in a place that's very accessible. Because I find that if it's not easy to get at, I am such a procrastinator about financial tasks.
Well, actually, ironically, within the little ebook that I've just written, I do have a spot for exactly that type of thing. But I've been a bit of a nomad for the last 6 months, and it was something that I didn't have at my fingertips when I needed to make a phone call. But you're right. It's an excellent time management thing to do, is keep your numbers, your important numbers, handy.
Yeah.
Had I not paid attention to my bank account, that would have continued for months. So at the end of a year, that could have been $1,000. Well, I'd rather have that $1,000 than the bank have that $1,000.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so are there other other reasons why just keeping on top of your bookkeeping is important, like every month, rather than just saving money, but in terms of making projections for your business or
well if you get
budgeting.
Into big business, I mean, I know we're all entrepreneurs, but the practices used by big businesses should still apply to us entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, to plan for tomorrow, you have to realize what you did yesterday.
Okay.
So that you can make changes and choices. And that applies
yeah.
to money as well as every other aspect of your business.
Okay. So to plan for tomorrow, you have to know what you did yesterday. I like that. And today. Right. So, and you mentioned at the beginning of the call that there's a system of bookkeeping that's been around since the 15th century,
yes.
So which is still the same today despite all the computers and all the advanced technology. So could you, like in a nutshell, say what this basic system and its principles are, just so that we can understand maybe the foundations of it all?
Okay. Basically, it's your standard double entry system.
And
what
does
that
mean?
That means that when I spend a dollar, I in my bookkeeping, in my traditional bookkeeping, I
yeah.
go into my bank account and I say, okay, I spent $10.
Uh-huh.
Then on the other side of that, which is why it's called a double entry, I go into, so if I spent that $10 buying office supplies, and
uh-huh.
actually I'm going to make it $11.30, which is Canadian tax
okay.
included. So in my bank account, I'm going to go in and I'm going to go and say I spent $11.30. Then on the other side of that, I'm going to go into my account that says office supplies. And I'm going to, in my office supplies, I spent $10. So I increased the value of my office supplies. I reduced the amount of money in my bank account. And that other $1.30 gets tracked in my tax account. Because when it comes time to give the government their share of my money, I need to know how much they get.
Hmm.
So that...
Okay.
The other half of that double entry is the $1.30 to the tax account. So if you looked at it, so to create a visual and to create a balanced book, on one side of your sheet, you have that you spent $11.30 and that removed
yeah.
itself from your bank account. And on the other side, you're telling how you spent it and where it goes. That's
okay.
called a double entry system. And that system,
okay.
even though if you're using a computer program, you're not doing it, in the background all of that happens. Like you may
okay,
even
great.
In your own home just use Quicken or one of the other easy accounting systems for your checking account and that kind of thing. It
mm-hmm.
does all of that in the background. So that's the advances in the last 10, 20 years, is that the computer does the other half of it for us. We don't have to track everything that way. But if you actually spit out the reports, you can compare them to what this friar did in the 15th century.
Right. Now, do you have to do that? Like do the actual, okay, I guess I haven't quite done that. I mean, what I do is I collect things and I'll write it down
mm-hmm.
Where I put income and then on the other hand, expenditure, and then I'll just add it up monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's,
hopefully
and that's enough.
Balances.
As an entrepreneur, that is enough.
So, sorry, I didn't hear you?
As an entrepreneur, that is enough. That is enough
okay.
bookkeeping. But
okay.
you are still doing the same thing. So that expenditure,
yeah.
If you were to do a full double entry, it's just you would write it in your checkbook, and then you write it in where you spent it, and account for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
okay.
that's all you need to do on a monthly basis. And that's the little book that I, the ebook that I've written or the system that I've designed. And that's all it is. It's just showing you where you've spent your money.
Right.
And so that you can track it. So that, you know, if you're addicted to Staples and you go in there once a week and buy, you know, a new pen, at the end, if you don't track your bookkeeping, if you don't track your money, I should say, sorry,
mm-hmm.
At the end of the year, you have 52 pens, and you may have spent $500 buying pens. But so if you only do your bookkeeping at tax time, you're going to go, holy crap, that was crazy. I need to get control of myself.
Right. Wonderful. So I'm wondering, just related to that, is how if you have people, for example, who are supposed to be paying you money, like you have clients and there's money owing, how do you call them and make sure that the money comes in if for some reason it hasn't been paid ahead of time?
Okay, that's a great question. And in my beginning years of bookkeeping, that was a challenge for me to call clients and say you owe X amount of dollars, because it went against my being nice and having to be nice and wanting people to like me. It went against that. And then one day I realized, wait a minute, that's my money, and they're not being very nice keeping it. So I still am nice on the telephone, and I still make it a pleasant telephone call, but my attitude towards collecting, this is mine, and you have no right to keep it,
mm-hmm.
was the trigger for me to change.
Right. Right.
So I still am quite pleasant. Hi, Katie. You know, you asked me to do your bookkeeping, and I've delivered as promised. We agreed on a set price, but you still haven't paid me. If you're in financial difficulty, because actually, as your bookkeeper, I know exactly how much money you have. if you're facing some financial difficulties, let's work together. You know, I understand, you know, that you can't always pay everything up front, but I don't need the entire amount today, but let's work on $20 a week, or let's work together so that I'm happy and I get paid and you feel better, because karma applies to money as much as it does to everything else. And once you pay me, you aren't going to feel guilty every time you see my name come up on your telephone caller ID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are, you know, you have to make it your own. You have to make it feel good for yourself, but you have to realize that you worked your ass off for that money. And when people don't pay you, it just creates all kinds of ick around money. And this is what your program is about, is removing icks from money.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, be comfortable with yourself and be comfortable with, you know, develop your own style. And there's a couple of little tricks. So if I called and said, you know, you owe me this money, when can you pay me? And that person says, I'll pay you on Friday. So on Thursday, I would call and say, so we're still on for me getting that money tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a gentle reminder that they've made a promise and a commitment, and you're reminding them ahead of time, as opposed to waiting until it's late, and then they're in a position of ick again.
Right.
So, like the old saying goes, the greasy wheel.
And that could be done by email as well, I assume.
It can.
Because
mm-hmm.
For some people, it's that's the way they get their payments.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, whatever arrangement you make to collect the money, I like to call a day or two ahead of time to remind them. Yeah.
Right.
A check in the mail is the old story, and that used to be the biggest lie in the world for bookkeepers,
mm-hmm.
on both sides. The checks in the mail was the biggest lie in the world.
Uh-huh.
So there's a couple little things, like you know, gentle reminders. And I still keep my collection calls, and I mean, I don't make many of them, but I still keep them gentle. Hey, you know, you said Friday that you are let me take a deep breath here. I'm pacing because I'm nervous.
You're fading again a little.
Oh, sorry. I'm pacing because I'm a wee bit nervous here. I just keep it gentle, but I also know that in the laws of the universe and the laws of karma, that that what you give out is what you get in. So keeping those calls and be true to yourself. I mean, my style isn't going to be your style, but mm-hmm. just stay on top of it. They're costly. I once...
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was an article in a newspaper about 20 years ago, so the numbers are going to change, obviously. But the cost to a business of not collecting on something due, particularly if it involved a product. So you go in and you buy a set of tires, and those tires cost $1,000 to you, the client. But to the tire company, they cost $700. Okay, so the tire company is making $300, but when you bounce that check or you don't pay for those tires or whatever, for whatever reason the tire company does not get that $1,000, it isn't just the $1,000 that they've lost. They've also lost the cost of the tires, and they will have to sell, to keep their numbers in the same category, they would have to sell, I think it's in the neighborhood of 20,000 sets of tires to make up that profit they lost on that first set of tires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, those are huge numbers, but it's the same in your business, right? If you do something for me and I never pay you, the amount of work you have to do to regain that profit is exponentially huge. So it's good to stay on top of your, in today's society, it doesn't happen a lot, but there are a lot of collection companies out there for a reason.
Yeah. So let's, I'd like to go on, that's very helpful, I think, for people to remind them about how important it is to collect what is due to them.
Yeah, it's
and
not a fun part of
I think
the job, but it is necessary.
Yeah, and it's something that, sometimes we may put off, but it, as you said, it's good for both, both parties, because one feels guilty and the other one feels, some resentment or other feelings when you don't get paid for the work that you're doing and for all the effort that you've made. So let's get on to, I have quite a few other questions, and I know we've got limited time on this call. So what I think are some of our, at least some of our people will be interested in, is what kind of rituals or habits can we have to make bookkeeping more fun? Because some of us don't really like sitting there and adding up figures and sorting out things that much. So do you have any tips on that?
My only tip for making it fun is create an atmosphere of Zen. Whatever your Zen is, create that environment and go and sit in there and do your paperwork. If you like to listen to, heavy metal and rock out to get Zen, then crank that in the background and sit down with your paperwork. If you like scented candles and soft music, I wouldn't suggest soft lighting because you do need to see what you're doing, but still light the candles and create that environment so that you're going into it going, oh, yes, I get to go into my happy place. And then you forget that you're doing a job that you don't find happy.
And, yeah, I think that's excellent because as you... I think that, all of us are different in what will be a conducive atmosphere. Like some of us couldn't focus at all with heavy metal, but others can. And, my husband, who's even more allergic to bookkeeping than I am, the way I get him to do it is when he's watching sports on TV or something, I'll hand a whole load of stuff which has to do with his taxes and say, sort. So
exactly.
While he's watching the sports, he'll be doing it. And I find that works pretty well. You just have to really know the person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yourself, in
yes.
your case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is not a fun job. I mean, there are fun aspects to bookkeeping. The sorting, I often will invite a friend over for tea and say, come keep me company because I've got to sort through this pile of crap. And because it doesn't engage all of your brain, because you're looking for two things. You're looking at where does it go and what date does it belong to. So it
Sorry, can you repeat that? When you're looking, because I think it's worth taking a moment or two. So you've got all these receipts, and how do you go about sorting them first, maybe? And because you're saying you look for two categories, do you have two piles or what?
No, actually, I have a pile for each category.
Mm-hmm.
So you will make piles according to the type of expense it is. So
yes.
all of your utilities will be in one pile, all of your
right.
office expenses and that kind of thing. The other thing to look for is dates, particularly if you're not proactive about your sorting, you might have last year and this year mixed in together.
Right.
If you're the type of person who matches their invoices to their credit card or their bank statements, which to me is a waste of time, but I know some people want that, then you want to put them in date order so that when you mm-hmm. grab your bank statement, your receipts are in the same order.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you're actually sorting, those are the two things. First, you want to put them in category, and then if you need to sort by month, or you want to at least glance at the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's good to know. And I'm thinking, do you need to? So once you see how you're spending what you're bringing in as far as income and are keeping your books in order, how much do we need to keep all those papers?
Well, according to Revenue Canada, and I believe the U.S. is the same, you have to keep 7 years. Now, that's this year and 6 previous. The government, the Canadian government has the right to see and ask for up to 6 previous years of books if they decide to audit you. Now, in my personal opinion and what I personally do is I don't even take half of them from the stores. The only paper I keep are cash. So if I went to the post office and I paid for stamps and I get a cash receipt, I will keep that. If I go to a restaurant and I'm paying cash and it's a business meal, I will keep that. If I've paid for it electronically, I don't even take them. But if you do, you would keep them in order to match them to your bank statements and your credit card statements and file them away.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the type of, and now let me clarify this, if you are audited, the government does have the right to say, but I want proof. Well, it's on my credit card. You know, I paid for it, therefore it's mine. But they do have the right to ask to see the receipt. Now, if you have to go back to the credit card companies or the bank companies to get proof of those receipts, it can be costly. However, I'd say 85 to 90% of audits, the government is just looking to make sure you are paying your HST, GST, PST, your sales tax, or in the case of employees, you're remitting, right? When you collect sales tax, that money never does belong to you. It is a trust account, and that money belongs to the government. So most audits are to see that they just want to make sure they're getting what is their money.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, that's good to know. Now, I'm just thinking of a person who's just setting up their business, what kind of things can they put down as expenses? And just so that they know a little bit about what the benefits are of setting up a business, because basically I think there's some people who are already have already earned money in what can be classified as a business, but aren't declaring, they're not really setting themselves up as a business for tax time. And as far as I know, it has a huge amount of benefits to declare yourself as a business. Because you can, I know declaring yourself as a business for an artist, then you can deduct all the money that you spend on materials. You can deduct the books and things that you have for professional development, and that way, if you've got another job which is supporting you at the beginning, or another source of income, then you can actually get taxes back. So I was wondering if you can say a few more of the categories that people can declare as business expenses, and the advantages of actually setting up as a business.
Okay. The advantages to setting up a business are exactly as you say. You can reduce the amount of taxes that you owe when you're in a situation where you've spent more than you're earning. But once you start earning, the advantages are that everything you purchase towards that business is a deduction. And we'll use your artist, for example. Now, If your artist has been painting for years and then all of a sudden decides that they want to go into business and they start and that's all they're going to do and they're selling their paintings and they're starting to use it as a business, from that day on, every piece of canvas, paintbrush, paint, all of those supplies become a tax or a business expense. They can't go back 5 years and say, oh, I bought this, $300 paintbrush 5 years ago and I'm bringing it into my business. That doesn't really wash with the government. But any brush they buy to paint with in the future is a taxable expense. The other thing is any courses they take, and I don't know enough about artists to say for sure, but if I'm an artist who's always worked in oils and then I decided I want to work with watercolors and I go take a course, then that course becomes tax deductible. And the travel to show my work is a tax deductible thing. The venues to show my artwork become tax deductible. Everything that you do that costs you money to sell your piece of art is a tax deduction.
Wonderful.
You also get to, if you have a home business, and most artists, a typical artist who works out of their home, let's say, will have a studio and they will have an office. Both of those things then become part of a home office expense. And it's all proportioned. So if you have a 5-room house and one room is your studio, your office, then 20% of all of your home expenses become a business expense.
So that can be quite a substantial amount.
That can be. And that includes, believe it or not, toilet paper, cleaning supplies.
Oh, really? I haven't declared that yet.
The repairs.
Yeah.
Anything and everything that goes into your home, that percentage applies to the home business office.
Not food, though.
Pardon?
Not food, though.
Not food in terms of you eating every day. But if you host an open house, then that food that you purchased to do that or the caterer that you paid to prepare that food, that is a complete business write-off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the home office thing includes, if you pay Johnny next door $20 to shovel your driveway every weekend or mow your lawn, that also goes part of those household expenses.
Huh.
In Canada, shoveling
your sidewalk can come to quite a bit.
it certainly can, especially this winter.
Yes.
Yes. Now, there is one little thing that I do want to add to a home business. You cannot use a home office to increase a loss in your business.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means exactly.
Okay. So let's say in your first year of business, you've spent $10,000 and you've only earned $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've lost $5,000. You cannot use the home office expenses in that case.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. They only help when you actually make money.
Right. Okay. So just some tips on how to prepare for tax time without going crazy.
Pick a time and dedicate an hour to going through the house, the car, the glove box, the kids' school bags, anything and everything. If you are disorganized about your books, then pick an hour and go through and then just create that big pile so that you know you have everything in one place
mm-hmm.
before you start to sort. And then take that big pile of stuff and go into your Zen zone and just sort through it. Or throw it all in a bag and take it to the accountant. But most accountants...
and I think that tip you just made is really excellent because I know many times and really important to do at first because I know many times in tax time I think I've got everything together and then I find another receipt here or another thing there and it's adding it on at the end is just not particularly time efficient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so pick a time. I mean, maybe, well, your husband's watching sports. I don't mind a little bit of hockey, but the best part about watching a sports game is you can go watch the highlights in a replay and then go back to doing something more fun. So pick an hour in your day that's all you're doing, right? You're just going to go through your house and your car, and all you're doing, your only intent is to gather pieces of paper.
Right.
Yeah.
And not to get distracted.
It's not always easy, and I don't know about you, but I am really good at chasing shiny objects.
Right.
But if and then create a pile. And if you actually designate a time to do that, then...
Mm-hmm.
Then it's pretty good. I mean, procrastination is really easy,
right.
Especially when it comes to bookkeeping.
So there's just one other question I wanted to ask you, but first of all, I would like to see if there's any questions from our audience. And so I'll be opening up the line and just letting them have a moment to think. Anybody have, there's a lot of tapping going on around my house. I hope it doesn't get on the call. But is there anybody on the line who has a question to ask Anna? Okay. Well, I'll let you have a moment or two, and in between, I'll ask my last, or at least one of my last questions, and that is, and people can think of whether they have anything else. How can you reduce some of your business expenses easily?
Some business expenses easily. Probably goes back to the first question is why to pay attention. So by knowing where your money is spent, that's the easiest way of reducing your business expenses so that you're aware of what works and what doesn't work. Paying for a Google Ads, for instance, if you're paying out, I'm just going to use imaginary numbers here. If you're paying $50 a month for a Google ad, and you've only gotten one client out of that, it isn't worth the expense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are some things.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just kind of being aware of what is working for your business and what isn't. My expense tends to be paper.
I'm sorry, Anna, you're going to have to, there's a lot of banging going around in my house. Somebody's just started construction next door. Could you talk a little louder so that I can hear when you hear a little bit better?
Okay, I will try.
So you were saying you had do you want to say a little bit more on that?
No, just really being aware of how you spend your money is the only way you can really reduce business expenses.
Yeah, yeah. And just, one thing that I found doing business is that one can spend, and there's a lot of advice, from courses we take and everything about different things we need, like teleseminar services and the services that we might have for, let's say, like MailChimp or AWeber. And all those services are necessary to have, but not always at the beginning. And it's really important to, I think, to really look very carefully at what you can get for free and not assume that to be professional or whatever, you have to have everything right away. Because I found that I signed up at the beginning when I was coaching, I signed up for a whole load of services that people told me I needed, and yet it was at a different, probably just now sometimes I'm needing those services, not then. So I was paying, $25, $30 a month for something that just wasn't in line with where I was with my business. So that's something I would add.
Yeah, that's an excellent piece of advice. And also, to add to that, if you need something, sometimes the one-off cost seems ridiculously high.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only need it once, okay, for instance, let's just say this seminar that we're doing right now, there's a cost involved to you to use
yeah.
the service. Now, if you aren't sure you're going to continue doing this on a regular basis or you just want to see what it's like, then pay the one-off price. Sign up for one to see if it really has value to you. And then if it's a good choice, then sign up for more. And in most cases, if you went in and say, look, I bought your service, and I bought a one-off because I didn't know if I really wanted to use you or not, and I paid $200 for it. But now I've decided to take your monthly thing that is $75 a month. Can we work out a deal? Is there anything you can do for me? Most businesses appreciate loyalty, so they'll give you a credit towards that $200 you spent for the one-off and use it against, maybe they'll give you 1 month free because you bought a one-off first. So negotiate with people. People are always open to suggestions.
That's a great suggestion. I hadn't thought of that. I'm going to see if anybody has a question on the call, and then I know your time is very limited, and so we'll wrap up. But just one more chance for people to ask questions, and otherwise I'll be doing it on the Facebook page.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Mary Aline speaking.
Oh, hi, Mary Aline.
Hi, Katie. I do have a question, and that is really, it's for clarification. I am an emerging storyteller, and I will be making some money this year, 2013. It'll be a very small amount, most likely. It would be under $1,000 total. Do I have to set myself up in business with a business name in order to be able to offset that expense with any, or offset that income with any expenses that I would incur? For example, a storytelling course that I'm taking right now specifically to get the story ready for this festival. and you know, any other expenses I might have. Do I have to set myself up with a business name?
No.
Oh, I don't.
No, you don't. If you're going to eventually make more than $1,000, if this is something that becomes your livelihood, you should. But even I still, my business name is still just Anna Pilon. To open a business bank account, you do have to go through and get a business name and a business number and all of those other things. And once you're in a position where you have to start collecting your retail sales tax to remit it to the government, then you need a business number. And at that point, you have to set up for a business. But until you reach that, there's no big need for it. Just keep those expenses separate so that you can track them. Or when you do look at your bank account and your credit card statement, make sure you note on them right away that they're a business expense.
Uh-huh. Okay. And do I have to pay tax to the government?
No, not until you earn $30,000 in a 12-month consecutive period.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. This is good to know.
You're welcome.
And actually, in Canada, setting up a business is really quite easy. Like, I think it's, well, it used to be about $97 to get your business registered. And then, you know, relatively little paperwork. So...
you can actually
it's
do it
not,
all online.
Like, a lot of people are really intimidated by it, but even for somebody as allergic to those kind of bureaucratic forms as me, found it relatively easy.
Actually, you can set your business up online through Service Canada.
Oh, that's right. It's changing.
Yes. Canada is... one of the easiest countries to bank in. We've actually surpassed Switzerland in terms of safety around banking. We're one of the easiest countries to actually use the banking system, mind you, but we are one of the safest in the world. We've surpassed Switzerland.
So are there any more questions? Anna, do you have time for another question, or do we need to wrap
sure.
up?
Hi, Katie.
Hi. Okay.
Alex...
another question?
Yeah, a quick one. Hi, Anna. Sure. I'm really appreciating your talk today. If you have a business and you've had one for a while and you're sort of trying to, you know, get out of some old habits and, you know, start things, I find that's the hardest part for me. If I was starting all over again, it would be so easy, but it's like trying to break the old habits and now implement some of these new systems. And also, like, I wanted to know a little more about how you might be able to help people. You know, I find sometimes if there's more accountability, I do better with keeping my books organized. So... just how you work? Do you work with people on a monthly basis, or how you would work, and how that might help? You know, by having someone else to assist you.
Yeah, I actually do have a couple of clients where it's strictly about accountability. We meet once a month and discuss their needs and their questions, and I can do it online, or we do it in person, or sometimes it's just a phone call. Sometimes it's just overwhelmed for them, and they will throw their paperwork at me and just say, "I didn't get it done this month. Can you do it?"
I think for me it would be figuring out a new system that's more in line with growing my business, and that just, you know, just what that would look like, and how to keep it up on a weekly basis. That's kind of what I would be looking at. So.
Well, if you want to, I'm a part of the Facebook group that Katie's put together. If you want to inbox me a message or send me a private message, I'll be happy to chat with you and you know, get into some ideas and suggestions and help you that way. I'm always happy to consult with somebody for an hour or two and see what their needs are and see if we can work together and that's something I just do. There's no cost involved to a consultation.
Okay, that was good evening. Thank you.
So, well, I think we'll wrap up the call now, Anna. And I would really like to, well, thank you for coming here and enlightening us about this. But also, I would like you to say more about how we can get anybody who listens to this call, even after this course is over, how do they get hold of you? Can you just give us a way to get in contact with you?
Okay, well, probably the easiest one is Facebook, and I'm Anna Pilon, and I'm not even sure if it says that I'm from Waterloo or not. The last time I checked, there's only 13 of us on Facebook. that is one way. If you're through, or if there's someone that is connecting through you, Katie, then we are friends on Facebook, so I'm easy to find that way. The other way that anyone can get a hold of me is my email, and that is I am Anna Marie Pilon, so AnnaMarie Pilon at gmail.com.
Wonderful. So I can see a few people who would love your services. And, well, thank you very much, Anna. And also thank you to those who have been able to be on the live call today and participated with their questions. That's always really helpful. And so thanks so much, Anna. This was really interesting and informative. And it's given us a few more ideas about how to get creative around doing our bookkeeping tasks and just having more fun. Because as you've explained, it really is something that's necessary. And even though some of it may be a little bit of a drag to do, we can, with some creativity, make it an activity that is doable for us. And I mean, I think, Anna, actually that just is a final thing, is that there's some stuff we have to do ourselves, but there's some stuff that it's really worth just paying the extra money to get somebody else to do it. And I certainly think as a small business owner, I used to do my taxes all by myself. But quite frankly, once I got to the point of being a business person, I have never looked back since I hired the first person, to look after doing my taxes at tax time. I collect things, I add things up beforehand, but I would never try and do the actual preparation because it's, fairly complex, and I don't know all the ins. And, for $100 or a couple hundred dollars, what saves me hours and hours, I feel it's really worth it. So
it really is. And that also goes back to our first question, is why to be aware of your bookkeeping. Even when you pay a professional to do something, you need to understand what they're doing for you.
Yeah.
So the other thing I want to say before I do have to run, I mixed up my dates, and I'm picking a friend up at the airport today. I am in the process. I'm actually was hoping it was going to be ready for today, but our communication didn't quite work out. But I've written an ebook called Cash Journaling, Bookkeeping for Creatives, and I would like to offer it free to anybody in the group. I will promise it will be delivered before the end of the month. I was hoping to be able to offer it today. It is going to be an ebook. It is going to be up for sale, but anybody in today's group is welcome to a free copy.
And how they should email you or Facebook you to say they're interested. Is that
yes.
it?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, that's a very generous offer. And thank you so much once again, Anna. It's been a great call and really interesting things that you've told us about how to do this more effectively. And so thank you very much. And bye-bye then. And
okay,
for those of you who are going to be meeting again for the Get It Done Day to do some of these have accountability around some of these little tasks, I look forward to seeing you at 3 Eastern.
Well,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Katie. And this is part of what makes bookkeeping fun, is talking to people like you guys. Anyway, I have to
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Hi, Anna. Bye, Katie. Bye, Alex.
Bye.